G'day punters, welcome to the AFL Lions season 2015. Just about to jump into our selections for round five, but firstly mate, what is going on with the footy this year? It is that bloody hard to pick, the sides are all over the shop. What is happening?
I don't really know, to be honest. I'm more thankful than anything having watched that train wreck that was West Coast Brisbane, and then somehow we made money out of that game. I still don't completely understand that. That we're might have been the worst games of footy of all time. And you know what? It might get beaten this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by might, I mean almost certainly will.
Absolutely.
We'll run through that one in about 4 seconds later on in the podcast.
Well, we might have something else. No, we absolutely won't.
I have absolutely nothing in that game. We kick things off on Friday night at the MCG with Carlton and Collingwood. The Blues getting about 2-goal start. Total points line high, 170s.
Given the emotion that's obviously going to surround this game, Mick Malthouse coaching the record-breaking 715th appearance for a first-grade coach, absolutely phenomenal sort of effort there. Apparently, I've only found this out yesterday, he was offered the opportunity to name his opponent for this particular game, and surprise, surprise, he chose Collingwood. So there's obviously still no love lost there. I was almost tempted to get on the back of Carlton purely on that, but I don't rate them, and I don't really rate Collingwood either. It's neither side really stacked up. Collingwood obviously had a great win last week against Essendon on Anzac Day. They always seem to get up for that game, but my rating of them hasn't really changed even on the strength of that. Essendon just didn't play the conditions all that well. Collingwood did, so. One thing I do think will happen in this game is I think it'll be pretty low scoring. So I'm 178. It's quite a reasonable line for a night game. I'm pretty happy, especially outdoors MCG. I'm happy to take the under.
Yeah, no bet here for me. I did have a lean to the under as well, but not quite enough to get involved. I think Collingwood are just a bit more honest aside than Carlton. But their best probably isn't a huge amount better than Carlton's best. It's just a consistency thing.
Yeah.
If anything, I'd be a slight lean to the minus, but nothing to get too excited about here, particularly given Malthouse's record-breaking game. We move to Saturday afternoon at the MCG and Richmond and Geelong. This game pretty close to a 50-50 proposition at the line. The Tigers getting maybe a couple of points, depending on where you're shopping. Total points line, high 170s.
Didn't find a great deal in this one. Geelong were okay against North Melbourne. We really got found out for a lack of run. And Richmond, they've got to respond after the way they played last week. Their coach has basically hung them out to dry and not before time. They're so enigmatic. They cannot string performances together. We always have that sort of feel that they're just about to come good, but they just don't. They don't at all. So. Given where both sides sit, I think a coin toss is probably just about right for this one. Outdoors, if it's decent conditions, it could sort of go either way on the totals as well. So pretty easy walk away.
Yeah, nothing here for me either. Really hard to put a line through Geelong yet. They've obviously played a number of high caliber opponents, but they have well and truly met their match on a few occasions there. And I'm not betting on Richmond the way they're going at the moment.
Nah.
I'm feeling pretty good that I've bet them once this year and won on that as well.
Well, me too.
This is a reflection.
I may never bet them again.
I think it's a reflection on how bad Brisbane are rather than how good Richmond are, that one suddenly somehow got up.
That's it.
We move on to the other Saturday afternoon game at the SCG, Sydney and the Western Bulldogs. The Swans laying about 6 goals. Total points line for this opened in the mid-170s, but plenty of rain around in Sydney, and that one's now around the 160 mark.
Yeah, well. It's funny that it has come in that much. Obviously, yes, there's been a lot of rain in Sydney, but the grounds the way they are these days, if it actually stays fine Thursday, Friday, then they shouldn't be, the conditions should be absolutely mint on Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. So, I think it's a reflection of Saturday's forecast.
Yeah, even still, I think two teams that like to actually run and carry the ball, given the opportunity with decent forwards, obviously very good forwards both ends of the ground. I think that line's in danger, Eb, despite what any conditions may be. Unless it absolutely hums down, I think that's well and truly in play. I'm going to play the over. I'm going to take it in this game. As I said, I like the way both teams sort of take the game on, run and carry, shift the ball very well in transition, and I think with two teams in that vein, especially the Bulldogs coming off the way they played last week, Sydney are going to know they have to put a number on there to beat them, and it's you know, it's not going to be 8 goals versus 7. It's absolutely not. So I'm happy to take this one on.
I can't bet this line just at this stage because throughout most of last year and indeed the early weeks of this year, where there's been smoke, there's been fire on these downward movements of total points lines. The markets tended to get it pretty right. With that said, if the conditions resemble okay on Saturday, I think all the trends say over. So it'll be a game day decision, so I won't have anything for the purpose of the lines. But if it's not hosing down, I'd be pretty keen to play the over, whatever it happens to be on the day.
Cool.
We move on swiftly and hopefully swiftly past Saturday Twilight game at Metricon Stadium on the Gold Coast with the Suns and the Lions. Suns laying about 2 goals, total points line mid 170s.
Suns laying 2 goals? Oh, I've only got 2 points.
Who's out?
I'm not sure. I have no idea, but they're up -2.5 with Centrebet right at the moment.
Right, so well, that's a big move since I took my numbers this morning.
It's been a big shift on Brizzy, obviously, but I know Malcheski's out injured. Whether or not, the way he's been playing, you wouldn't think that'd make too much difference.
No.
Dog would get more kicks than him, the way he's going. Absolutely nothing for me. It literally could be a nil all draw the way those two sides played last week. So,
and neither of them can defend.
Any value have half a unit on the 51 nick for the draw at nil all.
Let's just move on swiftly. No bet for me either.
Disgusting.
We come to good football at the Docklands on Saturday night with North Melbourne and Hawthorn. The Roos getting about 3 goals, total points line around the mid-190s.
First instinct is that 3 goals is a lot. Hawthorn, yes, they've been good. Their back line is absolutely decimated at the moment with the number one and number two choice key defenders out. And number three is also injured in Spanger. So we're back to Schoenmakers coming in. Now, he'll obviously be hungry and if he want to do well, but he is fifth in line for a reason. So North have got some quality tall forwards. If they can even break even in the midfield, take a little bit of a leaf out of Port's book and just run hard through the lines, I think this is a real danger game for the Hawks. And if I wasn't a Hawthorn supporter, I'd absolutely be jumping on the plus in this game.
Yeah, I'm pretty keen on the plus here. Really good spots to be betting North here. They're not a great side when they're small underdogs. They don't handle expectation all that well. They're a wonderful side when they're underdogs of any substance. They're a great side to bet at Etihad Stadium. Hawthorn's recent record at Etihad, not so great against the line. North won the corresponding game last year, and the two games in 2013, they both got... On both occasions, they were beaten, but both times it was less than 3 goals. They're a chance here. They're a genuine chance to win this game outright, and I think 3 goals is plenty. I'll be on the plus.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be.
We head across to Subiaco for the last game of Saturday with the Eagles hosting GWS. The Eagles laying about 2 goals, total points line high 180s.
So there's a lot to like about the West Coast. About the Greater Western Sydney side, isn't there? They're just a really good footy team to watch. I love the way they go about it. Dylan Shiel is an absolute jet. Out of contract at the end of the year. I tell you what, if I had to choose between him and Paddy Dangerfield, I'm taking Dylan Shiel every day of the week on what I'm seeing at the moment. he is absolute silk. So expect big interest in him, and hopefully for the GWS's sake, they can hang on to him because he is their absolute Rolls Royce in the midfield. West Coast, we've underrated them. Well, on purpose and accurately, I believe. We've not rated them
correctly
highly.
Correctly
rated them. We haven't rated them highly is what I was trying to say. McGovern's obviously been playing really well. If without him in the back line, they're leaking 25 goals every week. He's taking intercept marks at will. I think the GWS probably just stretch them a little bit too much. They've got good forward options, obviously, now with the Twin Towers and McCarthy and Cameron both up and firing. As we said, Shiel through the middle, Treloar, Devon Smith, these guys can all bob up and kick 2 or 3. I think I'm absolutely going to take the head start. Even though it's over there, I think GWS are immoral to win this game.
Yeah, I'm with GWS at the plus as well. West Coast made a habit in the last couple of years of thumping really bad sides. They got a terrific record when they're laying 5 goals or more. When they run into anyone semi-competitive, they have had their troubles. They're a poor side in night games. GWS haven't played a lot of night games in the last couple of years, but they've been terrific when they have. They've covered 13 of their last 17 in twilight or night games combined. And I just think they're flat out better than West Coast.
Yeah, I do too, on exposed form. Mm. Shuey's unlikely to start for West Coast as well, so that's one of their real gut runners out through the middle of the ground. And that's as much, well, you know, as we said, we can't afford to lose McGovern down back, but midfield, they can't afford to lose quality in the midfield either because they run really shallow.
Yeah. I mean, putting form lines through the bad sides that both of them have beaten doesn't hold much stock for me. I've put much more faith in the fact that West Coast got absolutely pummeled by Fremantle and GWS put up a pretty fair fight against Sydney. And if you put a line through Sydney and Freo from last week and say they're of broadly equal calibre, on that form reference alone, GWS are a better side than West Coast. And I'm happy to take the couple of goals. Also happy to play the under. It's an Eagles game. It's at night. That's just my rule.
Cool.
We move to Sunday and we're at the MCG for the first game of the day with Melbourne and Fremantle. The D's getting around the 5 goals, total points line mid to high 150s.
I'm taking the overs in this game. I don't care. Again, I don't care what the weather's doing. Fremantle have shown this year that they're out to score more points, especially early in the games. They have been a little bit flat second halves against some quality opposition a couple of times this year, but they're out there to put numbers on the board and the way that they're playing. And I've undersold them and made a bit of a song and dance pre-season about the loss of Crowley and how much that had hurt them, but it's gone completely the other way. They've become a better team without their number one stopper because they're now not worried about stopping. They're worried and other teams have to come to them. When you've got the blokes of the calibre that they've got going through the midfield at the moment, they're a good team to watch. So, and Melbourne are obviously on the improve as well. I like the way they're going about it. Jesse Hogan down there is he's going to be the best of this group of a dozen once in a generation forwards that have come on in the last four years. He's absolutely going to be.
We'll get
the best
five or six more in the draft next year.
It's bloody ridiculous, isn't it? But anyway, there's a lot to like about the way they go about it as well. At home, they'll put up a good fight, and I think 160, 155 to 160 is probably nowhere near enough.
Yeah, no bet for me here. I tossed and turned on this one. I thought my lean was the over, and then it just struck me, given how effectively Fremantle have shut down Port Adelaide and how effectively they shut down Sydney, it did start to strike me, well, how many goals would Melbourne kick if Freo were on their game?
Different grounds, though. Very different grounds. It's a lot easier to shut down at Patterson's than it is at the MCG because it's a narrower ground. So you can set that press up. It's a lot harder to get through it. Whereas at the MCG, I think there's probably more ways through.
I mean, in essence, if you think the line's about right, Melbourne have got to kick about 10 goals to kick their share of the total, and Fremantle will kick about 15. And I was a bit nervous about how many Melbourne are going to kick, and I think that was enough for me to leave the over, but I do have a slight lean that way. We move to the second game on the Sunday at the Docklands, and it's St Kilda and Essendon. The Saints getting about 5.5 goals, total points line, low to mid 180s.
Oh, there's nothing in this one for me other than St Kilda. Oh, well, both teams were probably disappointing last week. St Kilda probably should have beaten Carlton, really. They certainly had their chance. They were non-competitive after half time, from what I saw. And Essendon just got the entire game plan wrong.
Mm.
Tried to play dry weather footy and did it really poorly. So I don't see any real value in anything here. I think probably just about everything's in play.
Yep.
St Kilda, I think St Kilda have got the recent record over the Dons as well.
Won this game last year.
Yeah.
St Kilda have got a pretty poor record as big underdogs in the last couple of years. Essendon a horrible record as favourites of more than 15 points, which they added to last week, covering 3 out of the last 20. This is a very easy laydown for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
We move on to the final game of the week, the Sunday Twilight game and the showdown at Adelaide Oval between the Crows and Port. The Crows getting just over a goal, total points line around the 180 mark.
I'm all over the minus in this game. It is amazing to me how a team that Port Adelaide, what they did to Hawthorn last week, particularly in that first quarter, yes, they didn't carry on with it, but they just bottled it up. They put 18 blokes in the back 50 for basically the whole second half. So it's just boggles the mind that a team that can do that to the premiership favourites going up next start against a team that got absolutely belted by a team that a lot of people were backing for the wooden spoon, And only started goal dogs. That's incredible to me, and I don't see how Adelaide get within ball draw of Port Adelaide. Yes, showdowns are a little bit of a different beast, but you've got to just bloody be a bit common sense about it. Come on, that's ridiculous.
I'm leaning to the Port minus, but no bet here for me, partially because of the showdowns and partially because I just, based on round one in particular, I really can't figure out where the Crows are at. Is it the two games in the middle where they were okay against Melbourne and they were okay against Collingwood? They were brilliant against North Melbourne and they were horrific last week. And I'm just not sure which one turns up. If the round one Crows turn up, they can win. If the round two or three Crows turn up, they get beaten by 4 goals. And if the round four Crows turn up, they get beaten by 10 goals.
Mm.
So I have no sort of reference point for the Crows yet. But this is their litmus test.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. The way Port Adelaide structured up last week was phenomenal. And they've got too many options. With Lobby back in the side...
That did make a big difference last week.
It makes a massive difference because Ryder can then play as essentially your third forward, or Westhoff becomes your third forward. One of those two guys off the chain. And
it does expose Adelaide down
Carlisle,
back.
The job Carlisle did on Jared Roughead last week, I haven't seen anyone touch Jared Roughead up like that for a long, long time. Tex Walker's got his work cut out for him because he just absolutely loves it, Alapati Carlisle, playing on these big brute forwards. And he's rarely beaten. He stitches them right up. He's a very, very good one-on-one defender. And I can't see it. I just can't see where Port get him. And they're likely to get Ollie Wines back, likely to get Robbie Dray back. Come on.
Well, I certainly hope they win by plenty because it'll make our pre-season prediction that they get 17, 18 wins look a little bit better. They don't want to be 2-3 after this one.
Nah, well, they're not going to be. It's not going to happen.
Very good. So that leaves me with three this week. I've got North Melbourne at the plus, GWS at the plus, and the under in the Eagles-Giants game.
I ended up with five. I've got the under in the Carlton-Collingwood game, overs Sydney versus the Dogs, GWS at the plus, overs in the Melbourne-Fremantle game, and Port at the minus.
There we go, folks. Good luck and good punting.